This morning, I'm going to do something a little different again. I had a message prepared from the little book of Obadiah, but you're not going to hear it. You'll get that sometime in the future. Because yesterday, I got an email that triggered something in my mind. Something that we've all been following this week, and I'm surprised it wasn't mentioned in our prayer time, was the tragedy, the terrorist attack at the Boston Marathon, and something else that kind of got lost in all of that was the terrible tragedy down in Texas, where there were even more people killed in that fertilizer plant explosion. But this email came from Janet Cron. Now, Janet Cron served for a number of years on the board of Village Missions Canada, Canadian board. And Leo and Janet Cron, their daughter Danae was running in the Boston Marathon and this year. And she sent this email after the fact to Brian Wexler, our executive director, and he forwarded it on to us as village missionaries. It's a fairly lengthy account of their experiences there. And I want to share it with you because she also includes at the end of it some very good lessons, I believe, for all of us. So I hope that I can get through this, both with my voice and my emotions, this morning. She says, "Thank you for praying for us, dear friends. Danae was ill the day of the Boston Marathon with a sore throat and fever. We encouraged her to reconsider running the 26.2 miles of the race. She pondered carefully, but obviously has not come this far toward this goal without a lot of determination. She took Tylenol and had a few lozenges on hand." So do I. "Danae told us that she would pace herself and had us write her brother's cell number on her arm in case of an emergency. She told us the run time was not that important for her. She wanted to finish the race. Ultimately, I cannot tell a 25-year-old what to do. Danae did finish the Boston Marathon. She completed it about 40 minutes prior to the bomb explosions. Despite her sickness, she finished in 3 hours and 37 minutes in the second wave. We stopped and prayed for her health and safety as we dropped her off and at regular intervals throughout the run. Little did we know the extent of provision in that prayer. After the race, Danae went to the transition area where it is suggested it takes 30 minutes. She cleared it in 25 minutes. As she was feeling sick, she did not wish to go to the food area and planned to eat food we had at the hotel instead. She suggested in advance we did not need to meet her at the finish line due to her fevered condition that day. However, unknown to Danae, we did take a picture of her just prior to the finish line. Brendan," that's her brother, "calculated when she would be outside of Lord and Taylor, given her running time, as we were able to follow her progress via the electronic chip in her race bib. She ran right by the areas where the two explosions subsequently occurred, and I documented that with a race photo. We were unable to park in the Prudential Center due to traffic challenges in the morning, so we parked in the Boston Commons parking garage earlier that day. Danae came to the friends and family area to meet us after the race, as she had planned. After she arrived, we immediately left since she still felt ill. She said, 'Do you mind if we just get going and get out of here? I have had enough of the crowds and just feel so exhausted, I would just like to go.' She was calm but insistent. We decided to take a less traveled path to the Commons, away from the largest crowds. As we walked a block or two away, we heard an explosion, and it startled us. We looked back to see white-gray smoke rising. People were running. My son speculated as to the cause. He wondered about a vendor propane tank or a generator exploding. As we crossed the next street toward the Boston Commons, We heard a larger explosion. We turned to see smoke bursting out from the ground level, and then it propelled straight up and above the height of the buildings. I asked a street vendor, "What was that?" He said with eyes wide, "I believe that was a bomb." I stood in shock and watched wide-eyed for a moment as people ran toward us. But then my husband called my name and brought me back to reality. We continued to walk or half run toward our vehicle. My 20-year-old son Brandon walked with steady strides. His arm was around shaky Danae to support her and to speed her progress across the Commons Park grounds. He held up her foil thermal race sheet with his free hand to block the wind. I was struck by the fact that musicians continued to play and or sing once we reached the Boston Commons. People were casually playing catch in the green lawns. They had heard the boom but had not had a bird's eye view of the blast from our vantage point. It seemed surreal. Even prior to our entrance to the parking garage at the park's edge, the ambulances and police cars began to streak past us on their way to the race finish line. We found our vehicle and left to travel the half hour to our hotel in Marlborough, Massachusetts. We had arranged for a late checkout. We maneuvered our way through the city and traveled along the Charles River and noticed at least three or four helicopters were circling overhead of the race finish area. When we were about to pull from Storo onto Commonwealth, anticipating to turn onto a highway I-90, we found that the streets were being closed down by state police all around us. There were state police cars blocking the Storo extension ahead of us. They were running and pointing at a parcel near the bridge and telling people to grab their children and run away. Every precaution was being taken with unattended packages, and they were locking down the city. We were able to make the turn onto I-90 and then subsequently traveled north on 475. At the first toll booth, we asked what had occurred. To confirm our thoughts, we were told that indeed two bombs had hit near the finish line at the Boston Marathon. We were shocked, even though we had suspected as much. We started to shake as the news unfolded on CNN and Fox News. We were reeling from the horror of what we were hearing regarding a place we had just been, and from the potential of what could have happened if our timing and steps had been different. We prayed for all those who had been injured, even though we knew few details at that time. When we arrived at the hotel, the attendants were very thoughtful and caring. They offered us meals, water, and refreshment, as well as internet service. Our son and daughter were able to send Facebook messages so others would know we were safe. We declined the meal, but Danae had a quick shower, and we took cold drinks for the drive. We had brought things to eat. And then she begins to describe their trip and their family. Our middle daughter is out west in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, studying pharmacy. Caitlin was concerned since she was separate from the rest of the family. She heard there was an explosion at the Boston Marathon just prior to an important exam on Monday. She chose to believe that we were in the care of our great God and wrote her exam without having any more information. Once her exam was over, she dashed to check what had occurred and to sign into Facebook. Her siblings had sent messages by that time from the hotel, letting others know we were not injured and were on our way out of the Boston area. Our drive to Kingston was 6 hours, plus stops for gas and nourishment. Danae prayed for the last time as we approached the border, asking the Lord to see us through. She was feverish, and we were tired and stressed from all that had transpired, and mentally exhausted from all we had heard on the radio. We were through the border quite quickly. Of course, our vehicle was checked, but the attendants were very kind and understanding. Once in Canada, we were asked a few essential questions, and then were told, "Welcome home." We slept for 4 hours at Danae's, and then drove home to Huntsville in the early morning hours on Tuesday. Leo and I both worked later that day. Brendan traveled back to Western University in London and is writing final exams. Danae writes her final medical exam within the next 2 weeks and is set to graduate May 23rd. She is then scheduled to leave for Calgary, Alberta for July 1st. There she will begin 5 years of specialty training in anesthesia. We were all shaken to watch the news on television and online, and to see the images unfold of this terrible attack that blindsided everyone present and shocked the world. As we reflect back on all that has transpired, I am struck by the verse, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." Proverbs 16, verse 9. Now I want to interrupt right there just to mention, the scripture reading that Neil read was from Proverbs 16, verses 9 to 20. That was planned for a different reason related to Obadiah, long before I got this email. But that verse was the first verse. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Danae ran at the time she should have, and her illness was part of the plan that God had to preserve us. We were unable to get to the Prudential to park there, much to our frustration. We parked at the Boston Commons, so as a result we were able to leave from a more secure location and toward the highways we were required to travel home. Our daughter likely passed through the path of two time bombs, but God preserved her, and he has a plan and purpose for her life beyond the Boston Marathon. He knows the number of her days, and he has counted every hair on her head. We stood in the same paths when we took her picture and watched Danae run by to finish the race. The Lord protected us. It was not our time. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of this terrible act of violence. May we keep all of those injured and the families of those lost or wounded in our thoughts and prayers. We were struck by the kindness, strength, and preparedness of the Bostonians that we observed. Also, we are amazed by those who courageously, tirelessly, and skillfully responded to this incredibly difficult crisis with such care and purpose. May we use this opportunity to share Jesus Christ with those who are hurting and wounded and in need of the love and forgiveness that only Christ can give. I was looking around the city of Boston earlier in the day and took some photos of an old stone Presbyterian church. I was especially interested in the wooden entrance doors, an arched stone frame. Around the stone arch, this verse portion was engraved, "With his stripes we are healed." God help us to see all who are wounded within our proximity, and all who are in need of the healing touch of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows our deepest pain, and he can reach our deepest needs. He experienced betrayal and terrible pain. He died for us and rose victorious from the grave. God help us to love others and trust him to lead us in the path he has chosen for each of us. May we be intentional and prepared to reach out when others are in crisis. May we be flexible so we can follow if he calls us to a path we did not expect. And may we have a community of believers that are ready to respond and stand with those in need. Thank you so much for thinking of us and praying. You could have done nothing better for us. Your prayers were so needed and very much appreciated. We know that God hears and answers prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you as you serve him. Sincerely, Janet Cron. I was really struck by the thoughts at the end of that and the challenges to be prepared, to think of others, to be ready to serve others, to reach out to others. And there was one statement that really kind of jumped out at me yesterday. May we be intentional and prepared to reach out when others are in crisis. May we be flexible so we can follow if he calls us to a path we did not expect. And may we have a community of believers that are ready to respond and stand with those in need. I heard a statement yesterday when we had this. It was a very small service for Ross Chasten, and I won't tell you who said it. He knows who he is. But I heard a statement that said, "It is good to have a church family." And that is so true. We need to have a community of believers. We need to be a community of believers that is there to stand with those who are in need. So that's one person's personal story. But it's also a challenge to us. And I know we're finished early, but my voice is not good. But I would like to conclude with a time of prayer. We rejoice that the perpetrators of this terrible incident have been caught. One of them is dead, the other in serious condition. But let us not forget the victims, the people who have suffered. And at the same time, as I said at the beginning, lost in all of the news about Boston are other tragedies, other things that are happening. We think of the victims of the explosion in Texas. I'm not sure what the death toll is at there, but hundreds injured as well. Let's remember them as we pray. And I'm going to do something a little different here. You can probably shut the recording off any time here, because I'm going to open this up. I'm going to give you a chance. If any of you would like to pray, I would encourage you to just stand up where you are and just lead in prayer for the people involved in these incidents in our world, and to thank God for His protection over each of us every day and the things that we face. So if you would feel led to pray, feel free to do so, and then I will close in a few moments.